Good evening, everyone. I'm Lenor Mudu. Welcome to Health Chat. Get this, scientists in South Africa say they have discovered a compound that can help prevent and treat malaria effectively, an important milestone in fighting the mosquito-transmitted disease. Africa remains the world's worst affected region, accounting for 88% of new cases of malaria and 90% of malaria death. We will discuss the breakthrough discovery and take a broader look at malaria on today's program. Joining us via phone from South Africa, Cape Town, is Professor Kelly Chibale, Professor of Organic Chemistry at the University of Cape Town. Professor Chibale, welcome to the program.
Thank you very much, and thank you for having me on the program.
It's great to have you join us, and we look forward to discussing the research and some of your findings. Now, let me remind our listeners that if you would like to ask questions, you can email us your thoughts at healthchat@voanews.com. And we will discuss the malaria research in a moment. But first, VOA's Hedy Adam Fitzpatrick gives us an overview of the study.
It's called UCT943. Researchers at the University of Cape Town hope it will wipe malaria out for good. They say the molecule has the potential to protect against malaria parasites and block person-to-person transmission. Professor Kelly Chibale leads the university's Drug Discovery Development Center. He says UCT943 is a promising step forward.
It has the potential to cure malaria, and finally also kills the infectious forms of the parasite that are fed back into the mosquito. So it has potential to block transmission of the parasites.
Globally, there are more than 30 malaria vaccines under development. Another drug able to wipe out all parasites in the body with a single dose could become available by 2019. Researchers are also working on new insecticides to spray inside homes and on bed nets because mosquitoes have grown resistant to those already available. Chibale says that the global fight against malaria is also a race against time.
We have to always remember that this is a constant fight between ourselves and the malaria parasite. That is only a matter of time before any medicine that is successfully developed and given to patients, before resistance emerges. So we have to keep a pipeline of molecules in development at different stages to stay ahead of the game.
Global malaria eradication efforts cost about $2.7 billion a year. Africa has made significant strides, slashing malaria death rates by 66% since 2000. UCT943 promises to bolster that fight. Preclinical trials are set to last about 18 months before safety studies on humans begin. Hedy Adams Fitzpatrick, VOA News.
Professor Chibale, again, thank you so much for joining us. So we heard an overview of the study that you have been working on. Now, there are several studies out there looking at a new approach to preventing and treating malaria. What makes your finding a breakthrough? Why is your finding, your research, so unique?
Thank you very much. As you point out correctly, there are many, many approaches and efforts by various researchers looking at malaria, both from the vaccine perspective in terms of prevention, but also insecticides, but also more specifically looking at new drugs. And let me, before I clarify exactly why this is an important development and why it's unique, is first of all, drug resistance to a number of malaria drugs that are on the market is such a huge problem that the last line of defense against the parasite we have are the so-called artemisinin combination therapy, which is a combination of the artemisinins with other drugs. And of course, we've heard over the last few years that the parasite has begun to develop resistance to the artemisinin class of drugs. So if we lose the artemisinins to resistance, we are in serious trouble. So first of all, why this discovery is important, again, to put this into perspective, This is the second molecule that we've announced. The very first one we announced was in 2012, and is a compound codenamed MMV-048, which is already in clinical development. But what makes this unique, first of all, that this is actually a new mechanism. This is the two compounds, UCT943 and MMV-048, which we have identified with our partners, Medicines for Malaria Venture, MMV, based in Geneva, is the kinds of molecules with the profile where it offers you the potential not just to control malaria as in treating clinical symptoms, but also two additional benefits, which is in addition to curing the malaria infections and relieving clinical symptoms. It is also, as was mentioned in the summary, the potential to block transmission of malaria from person to person. But also, more importantly, an additional or third profile of UCT943 is that it offers protection. So in other words, it's able to kill the forms of the parasite at the liver stage where the symptoms are not evident. And symptoms of malaria become evident when it attacks the red blood cells. So in a nutshell, what makes this unique is firstly that it works on the non-resistant strains of the parasite that are out there. It's effective, which means that we'd potentially this could circumvent, overcome, or address the issue of drug resistance. And then secondly, it offers the potential to offer protection, offers the potential to cure malaria in terms of the clinical symptoms, and thirdly, offers the potential to block transmission. That's what makes it unique.
Wow, all of this in one.
Those are the properties. It's a profile, and as we said correctly from the summary, this is a long way to go. But this is an important milestone, because, and of course that's why it was announced. So it wasn't just a me too. This is a significant step forward in terms of contributing to the global malaria portfolio of drugs in development.
Mm-hmm. Now, what are... you talked about these three main aspects, fighting drug resistance, offer protection and cure, and block transmission, block, yeah. Now, you mentioned something about blocking person-to-person transmission. So is there an aspect of malaria that is person-to-person transmission? Our understanding is transmitted by a mosquito, the Anopheles mosquito. So is there such a thing as a person-to-person transmission of malaria?
Thank you. That's a very important point. Let me clarify that. So it's person-to-person transmission via the mosquito. So in other words, if I've got malaria and I get bitten by a mosquito, the female Anopheles mosquito that, as you said correctly, transmits malaria, and then that same Anopheles mosquito come and bites you, a healthy person without malaria, that's transmission of the parasite from person to person, but it's through the mosquito. That's what we mean.
Oh, okay. Very well. It's good to clarify that. Now, I know this is a scientific discussion, but that might seem complicated for people when we talk about compound and different things. But if you could perhaps put it simply for us to understand the compound, the new compound that has been discovered. You talked about what it has the potential to do, but in terms of how do you create it? Where did you find it? I mean, you're just trying to, it's science 101 right here.
Yep, thank you very much. I will try and keep it as simple as possible. So perhaps let me start by making this statement. Drug discovery or discovering a new drug or medicine, I like to say, one has to kiss many frogs before meeting the prince. And now you will see the context of the statement. So basically, this program, we screened, we tested more than 35,000 individual molecules directly on the malaria parasite. So this was a library that was purchased from a company that specializes in making what we call chemical libraries. So imagine a library of books. So when you go into a library, you will find books. So when we describe a chemical library, it's a collection of individual molecules. And so in this library, there were more than 35,000 individual molecules in there. And so what we did with our partners was to do what we call high-throughput screening. So we screened this collection of chemicals or collection of molecules, more than 35,000, directly on the malaria parasite. What we also did at the same time, in parallel, we screened the same 35,000 molecules on normal cells so that we could then focus on those individual molecules from the 35,000 that we started with to see which of those selectively kill the malaria parasite without harming normal cells. And then we focused on those molecules that were selectively killing the parasite without killing normal human cells. And when we went about what we call optimization, in other words, it's we define from the beginning when we start the program. So we think about the patient. So we think about the disease is malaria. Then we think about the patient. And then we define, before we even start the program to try to optimize the initial molecules that we discover, to optimize them to be safe and to be efficacious so that they can be tested in humans. Before we do that, and what guides us in terms of how we proceed from the very beginning in the laboratory is we think about the patient and we say to ourselves, what is the target product profile? In other words, we start with the end game in mind. So we say to ourselves, malaria is a disease that often afflicts very poor people, typically in remote parts of the continent of Africa and other places in the world like Asia. And so we think about a very remote place or village in Mozambique or any other country, anything remote. And then we think about the fact that there are no hospitals. So one of the things that we think about is that we need to develop a drug that would not require a patient to be hospitalized. Mm-hmm. Secondly, we think about, we would prefer for the medicine to be taken orally so that the person just takes the capsule or the tablet as opposed to injections. And then finally, just as an example, another example of a so-called target product profile is that we would like the medicine to be very, very cheap. In other words, the cost of goods to make the drug accessible is to ensure that it's affordable eventually when it makes it. So, in a nutshell, we have the target product profile which will guide us in terms of the decisions we make along the way. And then secondly, we define what we call a progression criteria. In other words, what are the steps that we need to go through and what would make one molecule move from one step to the next? So in a way, it's like you're ticking the boxes. We define, because we know what we're looking for, in this case, we said we would like to find a drug that kills the parasite at all the life cycle stages. In other words, we would like to find a drug that would not only have impact on malaria control, as in relieving clinical symptoms, but we also would like to find a drug that can block transmission or can kill the parasite at the liver stage and therefore offer protection. Now, when we define that, then we put in place what we call a testing cascade or a screening cascade. In other words, the tools, the technologies that we have available as scientists, which will help us to really progress only those molecules that pass the criteria that we've set for a molecule that is going to give us these kinds of properties. So in a nutshell, we really began with 35,000 individual molecules, and we focused on the most promising ones that were selectively killing the parasite and not harming normal cells. And then we optimized those initial molecules with respect to safety and efficacy based upon what we had in mind in terms of the patient and the profile of the drug that we're looking for.
Very interesting. Very, very interesting. And let's talk about malaria as the disease affects population on the ground before we come back to science. Can you tell us about the burden of malaria? I mentioned earlier how Africa is the most affected region, right? And we know that malaria is a challenge on the continent. Can you tell us about how devastating it is for people's life on the ground on a day-to-day basis?
Yeah, thank you very much. So first of all, to start with, malaria can kill within 24 hours of symptom onset. So from the moment symptoms are detected, if there's no medication available, malaria will kill within 24 hours. That's how serious it is. And then based on last year's report by the World Health Organization, this is the 2015 Malaria Worldwide Report, there were a total of more than 200 million new cases of malaria, about 214 million cases of new malaria reported according to the 2015 report. Of this 214 million cases reported, 88%, almost 90% of these cases occurred in Africa. So that tells you how much this continent of ours is really affected by malaria. If I then move on to the deaths, and of course, thankfully, you know, malaria deaths have been really, really reduced over the years, and thanks to progress in science and medicine. Mm-hmm. But the numbers we're still dealing with are very high. So, for example, in 2015, there was approximately 500,000 malaria deaths. About 500,000 people died of malaria worldwide, with 90% of these deaths actually again occurring in Africa, particularly amongst children under the age of five, who are particularly susceptible to malaria illness, infection and death. So in fact, if I give you another statistic based on the figures of last year, 2015, in 2015, malaria killed approximately just over 300,000 under fives, meaning children under the age of five. 300,000 of them died globally, mm-hmm. of which nearly 300,000 were actually African children.
Mm. Yes. It's definitely devastating among African children. Professor Chibale, we're going to continue our discussion. We're just going to take a quick break and come back and talk more about the good work that you are doing. So stick around. We'll be right back after this short break.
The U.S. presidential election takes place on November 8th, 2016. VOA provides extensive coverage of this important political event. Who are the candidates, and what are the issues that will determine who the next president will be? Tune in around the clock for coverage of the U.S. presidential election, right here on VOA.
Welcome back to Health Chat. If you're just joining us today, we are discussing a breakthrough discovery in malaria research. And our guest is Professor Kelly Chibale, Professor of Organic Chemistry at the University of Cape Town. So, Professor Chibale, we were talking about this important study that you are working on. Now, would you please tell us, this new drug, it is at the development stage. What is the next step?
Yeah, thank you very much. So UCT943 is at the stage we call, it's a preclinical development candidate. Now, the next steps, and in fact, just to give you a sense of how long this is going to take, this is over the next 18 months, is in fact the period we're calling preclinical development. So amongst other things, so before one initiates phase one human trials, one of the things that we have to do in this period of preclinical development is to look into manufacture of the what we call the active pharmaceutical ingredient. So UCT943 is in fact an active pharmaceutical ingredient. Imagine when you're taking a medicine for malaria, you either take it in a tablet form or in a capsule form. But what's inside the tablet or inside the capsule is what we call the active pharmaceutical ingredient. So one of the things that we're going to do over the next 18 months or so is firstly to look into the process of manufacturing this on a larger scale to ensure that we have enough material available for clinical trials. Because everything that we've done so far has been in the laboratory in terms of the scale. It's laboratory scale. So we have to ensure that we can develop a process that will allow us to manufacture this active pharmaceutical ingredient on a kilogram scale or ton scale. The second thing that will also happen over the next 18 months is much more extensive safety assessments done according to what the regulatory authorities require you to do. In other words, there are certain studies that need to be done in a certain way so that when you apply for regulatory approval to conduct the actual human trials, that everything was done according to the way that is prescribed by the regulatory authorities. And so that is the process. And of course, an important thing as well is to ensure that between now and when the clinical trials start in humans, that we raise the required funding that's mm-hmm. necessary for us to be successful in doing the clinical trials. And this is exactly the experience that we've had now. As I mentioned earlier, this is actually the second molecule that we've announced. The first one was announced in 2012. And that completed phase one human trials already. And subject to the availability of funding, then we hope to go into phase two of human trials.
Okay. And research takes a long time in terms of drug research. And what you explained seems like there are a few steps ahead. Now, in the best case scenario, that everything goes according to plan, how long do you think it will probably take to get this medication on the shelves in pharmacies?
Yep. Thank you very much. So, as you said correctly, finding a medicine is a long process. It's a long time, and it's very expensive. And to give you just an idea, it takes, on average, 10 to 15 years from the time a drug is discovered to when it's launched on the market, if and only if it is successful. And it can cost anything from $1 billion to $2 billion. And so the assumption here is that if we assume that we have the funding available to do all the phases of human clinical trials, and there are three main phases, phase one, phase two, phase three, and you may have to do a phase four if you are going to do combination studies. If we assume that we have all the money and we assume that the molecule successfully makes it through each stage of clinical trials, because it could fail at any time. It could fail in phase one, it could fail at phase two, it could fail at phase three. But if it didn't fail, we're looking at between 6 to 8 years of actual clinical development or clinical trials. Okay. The preclinical phase of discovery is, on average, this is based on the pharmaceutical industry experience. And of course, with the preclinical, miracles can happen where things could happen quicker. But with clinical trials, you know, you have to do this by the way things are, ought to be done. So there are no shortcuts. So we're looking at 6 to 8 years of clinical trials.
Wow.
And if it is successful, there's another 2 years of seeking regulatory approval in terms of launching that product. And even if, and even when that product is launched on the market, there's another period we call post-marketing surveillance, which takes about 5 to 10 years, even when the drug is on the market, because when you're doing clinical trials, you don't test the drug on every single human being. It's not possible, it's not practical. Mm-hmm. So you do it on a sample. But when the drug is successful, you never know what may come up when it's being given to different people. So in a nutshell, it takes a very long time, 10 to 15 years, and it's a very expensive process.
Mm-hmm.
It's very high risk, mm-hmm. But it's very high reward if it's successful.
And very expensive, you mentioned. Where will the money come from? Where are you receiving funding from?
So the UCT943, the funding for this program, and this is a very important message, I think, to our leaders in Africa. This project, this program has been funded jointly by the Medicines for Malaria Venture, MMV, who are based in Geneva, Switzerland, but also the South African government through the Technology Innovation Agency, the South African Medical Research Council, the Strategic Health Innovation Partnerships, SHIP, which is an initiative of the Department of Science and Technology of the South African government. So I think the message here is that this has been a real partnership between MMV and the South African government through the Technology Innovation Agency, TIA, and the Strategic Health Innovation Partnerships, SHIP, of the Medical Research Council and the Department of Science and Technology.
Now, we don't have much time left, but I wanted to get your take on the future. When you look at the future, what do you hope? Of course, I'm sure you hope to come up to be the one discovering the unique malaria treatment and prevention all in one. What are your hopes when you look at the way this disease is affecting the country, the work that you're doing, and looking at the future?
Looking at the future, over and above looking to see suffering being alleviated and death being prevented and people being cured, it's also the economic benefits. What we've shown in H3D, which is the University of Cape Town Drug Discovery and Development Center that led this study, is that research and development is not a luxury.
Mm-hmm.
Research and development, even before you see a product being launched on the market, it creates jobs. It builds infrastructure. It reverses the brain drain. It provides inspiration. It gives hope. And so what I look to see is already what we're doing, we have been seeding a pharmaceutical industry. So I look to see in the future this industry creating employment amongst our youth.
Okay, Professor Chibale, we have to leave it there. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me on the program.
Great. And that was Professor Kelly Chibale, Professor of Organic Chemistry at the University of Cape Town. And I thank all our listeners for tuning in today and all our affiliates for carrying our program, Health Chat. I'm your host, Lenore Mudo in Washington, with producer Jackson Vunganyi. Until next time, take care, be well, and strive to make every day a healthy day.